I must confess that when I saw the readings for this Sunday, that they were all about love, I thought, I've already preached this sermon. Can I just stand up here and say, just go do it? But then, as I was thinking through it more, and in fact, as I sat writing the sermon, I realized that my coffee mug that I was using was one that I had gotten from Pottery Barn. It's one of those HRC mugs, and it has love is love is love is love all around the rim of it. And then, I always listen to music as I'm working. I realized that the song that was playing at this moment was the Sufjan Stevens song, The Mystery of Love, with the beautiful line, blessed be the mystery of love. It might be the most discussed topic for us at church, and it might even be the most discussed topic in our broader culture. Love seems to be in and of everything. But I wonder how much of it we really understand. For us as a culture, it's easy to be so mixed up about love. When we hear everything as love, what is really love about? And in fact, the Greeks had a helpful designation for us. Some of you may know that they had four words for the one word we use for love. And the verse in John that we have today uses this Greek word agape, which is the kind of love between God and humanity, the kind of love that is poured out from God to humanity. And this is also the love that Jesus calls us to over and over again in Scripture, calls us to share with our fellow humans and the creation. But it occurred to me that we stand up here week after week pronouncing God's love, discussing this agape. So how can it be that even with all that preaching on love, with all that talk of love, that sometimes it still doesn't feel like enough? How can it be that I am a beloved child of God, the creator of the universe, and yet sometimes I still ache with loneliness? How can we still yearn for what we don't have if, as Jesus says, we have it all already? There are questions that are at the very heart of who we are. The questions so vulnerable to share that we usually speak of them only in a whisper, only with those who are closest to us. I call these heart questions, for lack of a better term. My mom calls them the 3 a.m. questions. They're the questions that as we wake up at 3 a.m., wide awake, that run through our minds over and over again. Will anyone ever love me? Am I ever going to be seen for who I am? And so these 3 a.m. questions, this thinking through these, reminded me of a researcher that some of you may have heard of as well, named Brené Brown. And Brené Brown has a PhD in social work, and she has made her name mostly by researching vulnerability and shame. And the way that she got to this, interestingly, was that she was trying, as a researcher, to gather data about human connection and love. But what she realized was that when she asked people about love, they told her stories of heartbreak. That when she asked them about connection, they told her stories of the times when they have felt the most disconnected in their lives. And this is how she found shame, which she defined shame as the fear of disconnection, the fear that if someone knew this thing about me, they would not want to be connected to me any longer. And as Brené Brown points out, no one wants to talk about shame, and the less we talk about it, the more we probably have it. And so after 6 years of research on shame, as she was gathering the data and trying to find some common points in it, she says that she roughly put people in two different groups. In one was the group of people who felt worthy, who felt worthiness. And in the other camp was people who described feeling that they struggled for that worthiness, for that sense of connection. And so she looked at these two groups, trying to find what distinguished one from the other. And what she found was that there was actually only one difference between the two. That those who described feeling connected, feeling worthy, believed that they were worthy of connection and love. That the only distinguishing trait between these two groups was the belief that one was worthy of connection. So, in other words, what keeps us out of connection, according to Brené Brown, is our fear that we aren't worthy of it. And so, continuing her research, she asked the question, how do the wholehearted live? She looked at people who she saw in this group who described feeling worthy and connected and asked, what are they doing that's different? What can we learn from them? And she found a few traits that distinguished people who she describes as living wholehearted lives. And the first is courage. She takes her definition of courage from the Latin root of the word, which is cur, which is heart. That courage, in her words, is to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. In other words, they had the courage to be imperfect, which led them to the next trait, which is compassion. That they were able to practice compassion with others because they felt compassion for that which was imperfect within themselves. And so Brené Brown argues that their pivotal trait, the thing that all of this leads them to, this practice of connection and being connected, is vulnerability. That these people saw that what made them vulnerable is what made them beautiful. And now Brené Brown actually had to take a year off from her research once she discovered this. She says in her own words that she had to call a therapist and say, listen, I don't want to talk about my childhood, I don't want to talk about my marriage, I don't want to talk about my family, but I need to figure out this thing that I've just discovered, that I have all of this research and I need to figure out this vulnerability question. To which she says that her friends all laughed and said, we feel very sorry for your therapist. Even the researcher on vulnerability realized that we can know many things, but it is feeling them, it is walking into them that makes all the difference. And unfortunately, there is no amount of knowledge, there is no perfect knowing that will ever be able to tip us into a deeper relationship with God and with others. We have to let it affect us, to change us. It is only through surrender and vulnerability before God that we can grow more deeply connected. But where do we start? One of the great joys of my work is meeting with you all and hearing your stories. And I meet with a spiritual director who listens to my stories. And I find that so often, what we come with, where we say, I'm really struggling with this thing, I don't know what to do, and then we say, okay, well, explain more about that to us. And as the person is explaining, I'm listening and realizing they already know the answer. So often we come already knowing the answer. It is whether or not we can face it, own it, and live it. And so I would advise you, as you practice the courage, the telling of your story with your whole heart, start at the place where your heart is. What are those 3 a.m. questions for you? How might you invite God to sit with you, as the gospel says, to abide in God's love in those moments? And this is what helps us make the crossing. As Matt talked about last week, our theme for the year is the crossing. This idea of tying ourselves into a sacramental way of life, that what is inward and invisible may become outward and visible through our actions, that we can make this move from compassion to justice. And it is hard, this sacramental living. And as Brené Brown points out, this vulnerability is the way, this connection, that we connect ourselves, that we give ourselves the courage to make that crossing. And like Brown, we have guides around us. We have wonderful therapists, wonderful spiritual directors, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ to guide us along the way. In Debbie's blog this week, she used a G.K. Chesterton quote that says, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." This is hard work. People are hard to love. Trees and sunsets are much, much easier for me to be in communion with. But the risk involved with loving other people is precisely why it is valuable for our own salvation. As we practice, as Brown says, living wholeheartedly by taking the risk anyway to love. And as Jesus says, this is our commandment, that we love others with the same reckless regard for their worthiness that God shows us. We come to church to practice this love, to practice the courage to tell our wholehearted stories, and to remind ourselves that we are beloved fully, seen fully by the God who made us and loves us still, so that we can keep going through those 3 a.m. moments, which have a way with time of changing and evolving, so that we can remember that they are not what is forever. Only God is eternal. This is not some sweet sentiment for a coffee mug. This is not only something that gives us solace. This is the love that meets us at our place of deepest pain and need and gives us the ability to then love others as well. This is our time to cross over. May we have the courage, the heart, to go forth. May we abide in this love and believe ourselves worthy of it. God has already decided we are. Will we have the courage to believe? Amen.